Another beautiful day at the ballpark today, a game two between the Giants and the Rockies. We welcome in the beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. She covers the Giants and a longtime baseball writer. That is Susan Slusser. Susan, good morning.
Hello, Marty. How are you doing today?
Very good. Very good. What did you think yesterday? Fans at the ballpark again. You've been around a long time. It must have been nice to kind of get the atmosphere going again.
Oh, my gosh. It was so nice. You know, I was up in Seattle, so I got to see a little taste of fans back for regular season games. And, of course, I was in Scottsdale all spring. But there's just something special about a home opener and fans back in the ballpark, even, you know, with the restrictions that they had, 22%, you could feel the difference. It was major. Cardboard cutouts were just not it. They were fun for like a day and hilarious for like a day, and then it just got sad. So, yeah, I think we're all extremely happy about fans back in the stands. Players, executives, scouts, media, everyone, we're thrilled.
You know, the Giants do it so well and all the promotions, and the opening day has always been a very special one. Something always happens you remember forever. And, of course, Cueto yesterday, 8 1/3, 118 pitches yesterday, where you don't see that very often. What was your take on Cueto yesterday?
He looked like old Cueto. You know, he looked like the Cueto that first came over from the Reds, right? You know, just dealing and having fun and a big personality, and the changeup was awesome. Really fun to see. That's exactly what the Giants need. And so far, the story of their young season is the veteran guys, especially the guys whose contract status is unsettled beyond this year, have all been really good. And actually, I should throw Longoria into that too, even though he is under team control next year. Wow, they all look terrific. You know, Brandon Belt off to a little bit of a slower start, sure, but he's, you know, he gets the big asterisk for having COVID followed by mono and missing most of the spring.
Right. What else can he get next? Boy, it's nice. But he got a hit yesterday, so that was good. You know, they got to fall in once in a while. You think Gabe Kapler took a step in his maturation, so to speak, as a manager by the way he handled Cueto yesterday? Because it wasn't like by the script. You know, it wasn't so many pitches, you got to come out.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a fun sequence, right? You know, Kapler comes out and gets the big cheer and then gets booed a couple minutes later when he takes them out. But, you know, I think everybody was mostly having fun with it. I think that the Giants are willing to let guys keep going if they're performing well. You know, if they're looking good, if they're more important, if they're feeling good. Cueto's innings had been built up. I think they felt comfortable doing so. He obviously felt comfortable doing so. It sounds like the confab on the mound was pretty hilarious, actually. I think it sounds like Kapler talked to everybody, not just Cueto. Like, hey, Buster, how's he look? Hey, Brandon Belt, how's he look?
So, you know,
consensus was good. Good, he's good. Leave him in there. And the crowd agreed.
Yeah, it's nice to see that. We don't see that often. You know that the manager comes out and he's got it in his mind. You know, God forbid, you know, the pitcher talks him out of it, then he gives up a two-run homer. But we don't see that often. That was more a little bit of old school, and I like seeing it with Kapler, that he let his eyes tell the story, and he listened to the pitcher and the catcher, and you're right, everybody else on the mound. Interesting. Hey, Susan Slusser's with us, of course, covers the Giants for the Chronicle. What's it like following Henry Schulman on this beat?
Well, I love him most days, maybe not every day. No, I love Henry. Henry is obviously one of my most treasured coworkers of all time. I adore him. Huge shoes to fill. Obviously, he did that the A's for as long as he was doing the Giants. So it's not as if I don't know baseball, but, you know, still getting used to the National League and to much nicer ballpark and facilities. And covering a team with resources is something unusual for me. I've kind of got to get out of the mode of like, well, they couldn't afford to bring that guy back, or they'll probably trade this young player. So, yeah, that's really the biggest thing. But I adore Henry, and he remains one of my closest friends. So it's actually really fun. The Chronicle's had such a long history of great baseball writers, period, but especially on the Giants beat, starting with Bob Stevens. Hall of Famer. So that's really an honor to be able to kind of follow in footsteps of people like that.
That's true. Ray Ratto. Remember?
Yeah.
Ray, yeah. Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah, and Ray covered the A's too. And Tim Kuehn, who is marvelous on the Giants, really a very, it's always been a very, you know, everybody, it's a premier beat. It really is. It's, you know, you've got the Niners and you've got the Giants, and those are kind of the 1-2, 2-1, depending on the year of kind of the platinum beats for any Bay Area sports writer or sports broadcaster.
You were one of the few that got to see Logan Webb in Seattle. You were up there for the opening series. What did you think of Webb? And I think Posey should catch him today. Maybe that'll make a difference. But what was your take on Webb last week?
Yeah, I think the Posey thing will make a difference. He caught him almost all of spring, except for a couple innings in the final game. He said exactly what I was thinking during the game. He was a little change-up happy. The Giants really want guys throwing their best pitch most of the time. That's what you're going to see, even if it's not fastball. You know, if it's one of the secondary pitches, if it's their best pitch, particularly that day, they're going to throw it a lot. He threw it too much. And there was a sequence when he got in trouble where, you know, he gave up 3 or 4 hits in a row on changeups. They were just waiting for it. They were hunting it. So he acknowledged that. I think the game plan will be a little different. It's actually going to be interesting to see. And obviously he works so well with Buster. I had to laugh during the spring because at one point he said he actually shook Buster off once and he was so happy that it wound up working out. He got the out because he wasn't sure how he was going to like even face Buster afterwards if he's shaken him off and it hadn't worked.
Well, what I loved was when he pitched in Goodyear, Buster went on the trip to catch Webb in Goodyear, and that showed me that they want Buster to bring him along. So I think that's going to be a big plus today. You know, yesterday there was a very nice beginning to these ceremonies and of remembering certain people. One, Gary Hughes, Pedro Gomez, Joe Altobelli, former manager of the Giants, Joe Morgan, and Hank Aaron. But I wanted to touch on Gary Hughes with you because you knew Gary so well, the legend, the super scout, and we lost him this year. And I wanted you to give you a chance to say something about Gary.
Well, like everyone in baseball, I absolutely adore Gary Hughes. I can't even, I mean, honestly, I can't even imagine baseball without Gary. He was at everywhere. 100% true. But my godson played junior college baseball in Aptos, where Gary lived, and I went to one of his games there, and Gary was there. Like he's always at A's. He was at every A's, every Giants home game. I often ran into him on the road. I thought that there was more than one Gary, and then when I show up at a junior college game and he's there too, I thought, well, okay, there's definitely at least 3 or 4 of this guy. That's what it seemed like. Larger than life personality, everybody's best friend, always surrounded by, you know, if you walked into a room, he had 5 or 6 people around him listening because his stories were so good and he was so much fun. He made friends everywhere he went. You know, he was good friends with Bill Murray from his Cubs days, and they hung out. That kind of similar kind of personalities, just real fun, always out, always talking to people, knew every great restaurant, every good bar, knew everyone in the game, had every story at his fingertips. Just the best. I loved him dearly and will miss him always.
Well, I'm glad you could say that. Me too. He was one of my best friends and took care of the other scouts. When Charlie Silvera for years, he took care of Charlie and Eddie Bachman and different people, very famous names in Northern California that a lot of people don't know. But Gary always made sure that they were taken care of. So, and he had about 600 grandchildren. He had a grandchild like every other day in the family. He was the ultimate grandpa, but a wonderful man. And I'll miss him every day at the ballpark. I can't believe he's gone. This Thursday, the Giants are off. I don't know, are you going to Miami? I'll ask you that. I'm not sure.
Yeah, we're not. We went to Seattle because it was the opener. Until they start in-person interviews again, there's just no reason to go on the trips. I was just vaccinated the other day, so I guess I'm not official for another week and a half, that certainly will make the travel easy. But when all the access is just via Zoom and the games are all televised, unlike during the spring, obviously, there's no reason to go, which is too bad. It means that fans are getting coverage that is not as complete. The beat writers aren't getting to know players as well to provide better stories, more stories, different stories. It's good for the teams. It's good for the league. It's good for fans when there is more thorough, better, accurate coverage, of course. Mm-hmm. And we can't do that without in-person interviews. And I don't want to especially for me, because, you know, I love my job and it's a great job, but I'm brand new on the beat. And I've literally met two guys in the organization of the players in person, Scott Kazmir and Sky Bolt, who just came over. So, you know, even Tommy LaStella, who I covered last year, was only via Zoom. So
yeah. Is he okay?
I'm looking forward to the day I can actually chit-chat with players and get to actually know them as people.
It'll happen eventually. We'll see. Hey, what's up with LaStella? Is he okay?
You know what? That thing was a little troubling. He obviously did not play in the first couple of games because of left-handed starters. They've actually faced a fair number of left-handed starters here. I think maybe, you know, that potentially has affected his timing along with the back thing. And like everyone else, a little bit in the dark about that. You know, he was just magnificent for the A's last year and for the Angels. And every time I saw him with the Angels, it seemed like he was on base or having an 11 pitch at bat. You know, just a guy who can be a difference maker in a lineup. We have not seen that yet, so that's not him. I have no doubt that he is an absolutely superior hitter. His bat skills are amazing. He's got a great eye. That will happen, but yeah, we.
Yep. Well, I think we're losing Susan there. Oh, we lost Susan. Okay, she was breaking up there at the end. Well, that we'll end it with that. She's doing it. She's probably on her way to another Zoom meeting. That's the way you have to cover the ball club these days. But nice to have Susan Slusser on, and I really appreciate the words that she said about Gary Hughes and, of course, Pedro Gomez and the others that we lost this year. Big day in baseball last night. Bill and I will chat with it when we come back after this break. But the Padres had gone 8,000 games. 53 years without a no-hitter. Guess what? They got a no-hitter last night. Joe Musgrove threw it last night, and this Musgrove, and he is terrific. I talked about him in spring training. I thought he was the sleeper pickup. They got Darvish, they got Snell, and they got this guy, and this guy is a power pitcher, and he no-hit the Texas Rangers, the first no-hitter in Padres history. So Bill and I will talk about that and more when we come back. You're listening to KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.